Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase has the day off. Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by Rumble On, just rumbleon.com. And with that being said, let's hear from Mike Vrabel. This is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Here's the head coach.
Some guys, some extra rest in this week.
Well, we just kind of, you know, we looked at the schedule and we thought that that would be best, you know, for a lot of reasons. But, you know, to give them a chance to enjoy the holiday. Focus on that, put football, you know, here on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and come back on Friday, you know, hopefully feeling better and refreshed and having the opportunity to safely celebrate, you know, a holiday with their family.
Jim?
Mike, I guess, how do you go about, you've got three more guys coming to the designated for return list. How do you incorporate those guys back into practices, and how optimistic are you you'll have your punter back on Sunday?
We'll see what it looks like today. You know, we did a little bit of work yesterday, and you know, Brett's been working hard to get back. You know, the designated for return is exactly that. They are allowed to practice. It gives us an opportunity to evaluate them in individual and a return to play setting, see what they can do on the show team, or see what their you know, availability looks like on the defense or the offense, and then we'll, you know, we'll keep working with Brett to see how he feels and where his confidence is to do his job.
Teron,
coach, last week very physical game against the Ravens. This week, obviously, against the Colts, what is it about that defense that makes them?
Yep. Teron, I have nothing, and I know that our football team has nothing but the utmost respect for Frank, his football team, Chris Ballard, the football team that they've assembled. They've outscored opponents 41-3 in the second half of the last two games. And that's included us. So we weren't able to score, and the Packers were able to get 3 points. So they aren't front runners. They are going to compete. They're going to fight, and they are going to finish throughout the game. So for us to have any chance to win, you know, we're going to have to be strong throughout and certainly, you know, be able to match their physicality and intensity, especially in the second half of the football game.
Is there anything that stands out about their run defense with Buckner, those linebackers, as well as Blackman, or even just with?
Yeah,
because they always drop the safety down in the box, it seems like.
Well, they'll mix in, you know, run pressures. They mix in cover two. They play that well. They're well coached, and they have really good players. You know, they fly to the football, and that's a testament to them. And they tackle well. You know, I know that the linebackers are good tacklers, but the secondary players, you know, the corners tackle well when they have to replace. And then when the, you know, the safeties are down, You know, it's a difficult challenge to get them blocked. So, you know, we'll work hard and prepare and see if we can't manage to try to get them blocked.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I think the NFL transaction wire had you guys working out a guy this week that you've got some familiarity with and Brooks Reed. Wonder if you could just kind of talk, you know, what you like about him and maybe the challenge of anyone potentially coming in at this point in the season and contributing.
Yeah, you know, haven't seen Brooks in a while. We'll work him out. You know, we haven't seen him. You know, he'll go through the testing procedures, but, you know, the onboarding, you know, takes 5 or 6 days. And, you know, that's if we make a decision to add anybody to the roster.
Right. And then I had a question on, you know, the video or the audio of that, the pregame incident popped up again today. And question is this, I know you guys commonly, you go to midfield and kind of, you know, get yourself ready for games there. You know, would you talk to your team about doing that? And maybe, you know, conversely, would you care if another team did that on the logo, you know, of the Titans?
So the answer is this, John. I'm sure that we'll get introduced. I'm positive we'll get introduced as a team again this week. I'm sure our players will run out there to midfield like they've done since I've been there. I really haven't even noticed. They'll break it down and try to come over to the sidelines, and I'll make some last-minute adjustments or talk to some assistants, and you know, we'll go from there. That's what's going to happen, I'm sure, in Indy.
Thanks. Jeff?
Mike, on Quessenberry, I just wondered what you thought of how he played in that tough spot Sunday, and how difficult is it to not only, you know, come into a game like that, but even to be kind of practice squad thinking in terms of the other team's offense, and then to also still have to prepare, you know, for a situation like this. How has he handled all that?
Well, David is on the active roster. And I don't think it's hard. I mean, some guys, you know, that's the definition of a pro. They make the hard look easy. Everybody that's healthy and available, that's practicing on the active roster or the practice squad, Joe, their job is to be ready to play in a football game. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it doesn't. But that's their job, is to prepare like they are. I would say that David has done that every single time that we've asked him to. He's been on the practice squad previously and got called up and played. And sometimes he's been on the practice squad and not been called up, or he's been on the active roster and not played. But you know, I think he's always ready for the opportunity. He's into the game. He's a great teammate. And, you know, that's part of the reason why we like having him around, along with the versatility. And he was able to go in there and do his job and help us win the football game.
And beyond that, Mike, his history, I know you were part of that with him too, obviously, you know, fighting cancer a lot of years before he could even get into the league. How do you think that's kind of maybe led him to here in terms of, you know, having to go through all that? Also, as a guy who, maybe he's 30, but he hasn't had the wear and tear of, you know, guys who would have been in the league as long as that. How do you think that's a factor, if at all?
Well, it takes, you know, he works out. He works extremely hard, takes care of his body. You know, having known David since when I was, you know, in Houston, you know, Tyler was a sophomore, and you know, end of his sophomore year, got switched to offensive tackle. I've alluded to this before, and you know, Quiz was working through his, you know, recovery, taught him how to play offensive line. It was pretty special to watch Tyler, you know, look up to Quiz, would come over and would work with him, you know, while he was going through his rehab. And so I think just for me personally, just watching him, you know, take care of my son, I've always respected that. And then his battle and being released there and having an opportunity to come here and work, and you know, loves football, loves his teammates. And I think that shows.
Terry.
Thank you.
Mike, if you're able to get Brett Kern back this week, what does that do to kind of stabilize the special teams unit, the punt unit, and also the field goal unit, because he plays such a big role?
Man, I've said this before. Brett's one of the best players on our team. I've got a lot of respect for what he does, but he can't block. He can't cover. He's got a job to do, which is to kick and then, you know, hopefully put the ball down and turn the laces away from Steven. And then we got to make sure that we protect, and then Steven's got to, you know, put a good swing on it. So, you know, Brett's going to focus on his job if he can do it, which is punting and holding. And you know, we'll see where that is at the end of the week.
And then in facing the Colts second time in 2.5 weeks, what's the biggest challenge when you see a team so close to the last time you played them?
Just playing better, I think, for us is taking care of the football, being better in special teams, and obviously watching how they, you know, came out in the second half, you know, down, and how they played the football game. You know, we're going to have to be able to match that effort and physicality throughout the entire game.
Paul?
Mike, if Jayon's replacement isn't a full-time player, how do you decide who gets the green dot, who's doing the communicating?
I think that there's some conversation about that, Paul, as far as what's the best thing, you know, as far as people coming in and out. You know, you can only have one, you know, one helmet with the dot on it at a time. So I think we'll still kind of working through what we're going to plan to do there. You know, I think sometimes it's probably a little difficult to have a safety do it, you know, that's always in there. So we'll probably end up having it be a linebacker.
Is there such a thing, separate question, as an offense that can be too reliant on play action?
I'm sure there's an offense that could be too reliant on anything. There's a defense that could be too reliant on pressure or zone. You know, but I think you have to do the things that you feel like you're good at and the players have confidence in. That's the most important thing, is what you've practiced and repped and what the players can go out there and execute at a, you know, fast pace and be aggressive.
Thanks.
David Buckler.
Mike, what have you seen from DeShone Kizer when you've worked him out, and how challenging will it be for him to sort of digest the offense from here?
I haven't seen DeShone. I'll see him in 45 minutes, and you know, I think you'd have to ask him what it's going to be like. I'm sure it's a challenge. I'm sure the plays are all going to be similar from where he's been, but the terminology is going to be different. I think that's the biggest thing, David, that we run into with players or coaches going to a new system is, oh, we called it this, but you guys call it that. And you know, usually that's the process that happens, is trying to just train your brain to learn a new language.
Buck.
Hey, Mike, without having Michael for a couple of weeks now, how much has Jeff Swaim kind of helped you guys in that role, and what has he been able to do with your run game?
Yeah. I mean, I think Jeff was a player that we worked out in training camp. Felt like we wanted to add him to the roster. He had a really good workout and earned the right to be on this football team coming out of training camp. He's been active, he's been inactive, and has done well and helped us when he was active. Has played in the backfield, has played on the line of scrimmage. So I think he's just another one of those guys that's, you know, taking advantage of his opportunities that have come up.
Jim?
Mike, just seeing if you've had any luck or any progress from the guys who've been on in the concussion protocol.
Luck? We're probably not going to pin our recovery on health and safety on luck, Jim, but we'll see where those guys are after practice. They're both scheduled to practice, and then, you know, they'll have to go through the independent doctor as we work our way towards the end of the week.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel talking to the media as they start getting prepared for their next opponent, another battle with the Colts. Second time in 18 days, and that was brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We've got a lot to digest from that. We'll discuss on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. But first, as we head into a triple header tomorrow, listen up. DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is going to give all you out there the opportunity to double your money. Do I have your attention now? Double your money if either the Ravens or the Steelers score a touchdown tomorrow night. Yeah, that's all it takes for you to double your money is a touchdown in tomorrow night's contest. All you have to do is opt in to the promotion, place your bet, and then sit back, watch, enjoy, and wait for that touchdown. On top of that, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new players a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code 1025GAME. Once again, that's 1025THEGAME. And sign up for your can't-miss offer for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Little programming note, tomorrow is typically, you know, underdogs at high noon. Well, that's not going to happen tomorrow. That's going to happen today. To kick off our final hour. So silly underdog picks at 1 o'clock today. It is open for you to jump in there, make your three picks. You out there that's been playing along all season, we appreciate that. We'd love for you to jump in. Right now we've got weekly winners. You get to pick three either college games or pro games or from both. And it's however you want to divvy it up. And if your underdog wins outright, you get those points. That's how it works. Like I said, we'll have a weekly winner. They'll receive a 10-roof gift card this week. All you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and make your picks today. Remember, we will review and make our picks today to start the final hour of the program. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Chase has the day off. Brought to you by Blue Note, Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. All right, let's talk about some things we heard in Mike Vrabel's presser today as they get ready for the Colts. One, I was thinking of Brick and Anchorman. Loud noises. What was
we had the foghorn that made some appearances.
What in the world?
I don't know if somebody over at the Vanderbilt Stadium was testing out the touchdown foghorn.
But they're not at home. They're not at home this week. Why would they be testing it out?
I don't know.
Gosh,
what was the deal
so
with the foghorn?
I don't know. It was
and
very
then Teron sounded like he was 100 miles away talking.
Like he was already in Indy.
And about, you know, then you had to get like Morse code. You could figure out kind of what he was asking. He was asking about the defense, and all of a sudden about half of his question would disappear, and then he'd come back. And then he had some other people had issues on the thing.
Just wasn't a good day.
It wasn't a smooth Zoom.
It was not smooth. Kind of like their game on Sunday. It wasn't smooth, but they came out with a win. And they're not always going to be smooth and easy. And sometimes it's going to be rocky and bumpy. But they came out on the winning side, and that's really all that matters, right? It's in this league, it's about the result. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's just simply about the result. But let's talk about something we talked about on Monday's show. And the both of us got a chance because we're both big fans of and inside the NFL. In fact, I get Showtime literally during football season just to watch Inside the NFL. I love that show. I love the mic'd up stuff. You just get inside portions of games that you're not going to get by watching them because they have the mic'd up stuff. And so you catch a lot. And I just think overall it's a good show. I enjoy it. They've got a good blend of, you know, Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason and Brandon Marshall and Ray Lewis. And so they're kind of, you know, you've got different angles, different everybody's their makeup is a little bit different. So Brandon Marshall's the, you know, a little bit more the younger guy. Ray Lewis and Phil Simms are the old school guys, right?
So, I think Ray would be old school. If Ray's old school, then Phil is really old school.
He is. No, that's true. that's true. That's fair. Phil Simms is really old school, but Ray Lewis is old school. I mean, and last night was a prime example, and Brandon Marshall is not old school because he didn't get where Ray Lewis – and I literally wanted to watch this just to see how Ray Lewis was going to react to the Titans' victory over the Ravens and how fired up – and you could just see him on set. Like, it was like he was channeling – that window of when you hear us talk about that window that both of us were covering, lived, went through, spent all that time at then Adelphia Coliseum to watch those games in person and cover those games and what that rivalry was like, you could feel that in Ray Lewis. It was coming through my television. And Brandon Marshall was like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, that's 2002, man. He's like, yeah, but you just don't get it. Young guy, you don't get that rivalry. And so he was just kind of talking about how that game on Sunday felt like that 4 to 5 year window that you hear us talk about so much when the Titans and Ravens used to get after it and you knew it was going to be a snot bubbles type of game.
It was a very physical game. And their theory, I think they hardly held back. Phil Simms weighed in on it too, was the scuffle at the beginning of the game, the jawing after the teams were introduced, led to that a little bit. I thought it was really interesting, their commentary on it. But, Darren, also we got a clearer picture when you watch the NFL films with the mic'd up of exactly what happened. Because not a full picture, but you got a little bit more than what was said after the game about it, during the game about it. You know, Tracy Wolfson was trying to, but remember, the sideline reporter is not on the field anymore. She's in the stands.
Yes.
Right, because of the protocol. So it was hard for her to really get any detail on what happened other than you could see who was talking back and forth and you're trying to read lips. We know Malcolm Butler was over there. A.J. Brown was over there. But the big thing that they centered in on was it was only Harbaugh and a couple of other coaches that went and attacked verbally the Titans for presumably gathering on the shield at midfield, which the Titans, and Vrabel said this at the press conference today, this is what we do every week. When we're introduced, we go to midfield and we do our routine. And it was funny, the guys on the inside the NFL crew all said that was intentional. They're trying to send a message. They're trying to goad the other team.
But they also all agreed that they liked it.
They all agreed that they liked it. They liked the mind games. You know, Phil Simms was like, this is what Mike Vrabel is all about. So Vrabel does not admit that publicly, right? He downplays it. What are you talking
this
about?
This is what we always
do. This every game.
We do this all the time. This is
and he
just,
said,
you know,
on Sunday, we'll be introduced, and we will go to midfield at Indianapolis. So I guess
he's
that
not
is,
going to go there.
That is a routine, right? That you can you can define that as a routine.
Come on. If they do that every time, and I heard players say that after the game. I told you, I brought that up on Monday. But how can that just – how can that be the only team? Like, come on. Like, we see it in college all the time. I don't believe it's – look, I don't know one way or the other. One, we don't travel with them, and especially this year. But we don't travel with them. Have I in the past? I have gone to many, many road games in the past. But obviously not since Mike Vrabel has been the coach. So I don't know if this is what they do. But there was something extra. Look, there's a reason why John Harbaugh came out there. There's a reason that happened. And that's fine. Like I said, these are all guys that played it for a long time at a high level and have been around the game their whole life. So they all knew there was something extra in there from the Titans. But they also then followed up by saying, and I'm okay with that. That's just called a team with swagger. Their coach has swagger, they have swagger, and they're okay with that, right? And you could feel Ray Lewis, man. He was because you could tell if he was still playing, he would have been in the middle of that for sure.
And they were critical, both Ray Lewis and Brandon Marshall were critical of the Ravens players for not
backing
up their coach. They're like, why is it only the coach that's coming over there? Now, maybe the Ravens players just didn't realize he was doing it. It happened pretty fast. I guess it was pretty impulsive. But let's actually play the clip. It's a very short clip because it's very hard to hear everything, but you will hear in this clip. This is what you're listening for. You'll listen for John Harbaugh saying it's disrespectful repeatedly. He's saying it's disrespectful.
Do we have breaking news?
I think we've got this from NFL Films.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Jim Harbaugh is going to Baltimore. Okay.
No. John Harbaugh is yelling, it's disrespectful, meaning, you know, you're on our shield, our logo, whatever. And you'll hear Mike Vrabel yell back, go coach your team. Something to that effect. Go coach. You know, just trying
to blow
him up.
He never looks at him, if you notice. He's kind of like, he's directing it all at Harbaugh, but he's not looking at him. So it's like, you don't know who he's really talking about. We know who he's talking to.
No doubt. Yeah, and so the referees are all standing there. They don't appear to be saying anything. And there's some other people sort of making sure they're like a human shield where it doesn't get any further than some jawing back and forth. So this is a clip before they play the highlights of the game. This is on Inside the NFL on Showtime. And then afterwards, when the Titans win, it does show them shaking hands. It's a very brief handshake, but you can see it. They did shake hands.
Start with the beginning. There's different layers we've got to break down. So let's start with prior to kickoff. And here is what Willie was just describing. You're going to hear it's going to be quick. It's like 6 to 8 seconds. So here goes.
So you heard disrespectful, and you can hear Vrabel go
coach. Two or three times.
Go coach.
Go coach your team.
Just go coach.
Go coach your team.
So it's, you know, it's third gradish, but this is what happened happens when you jaw back and forth, right?
Well, it did bring a little bit, you know, it shed a new light on what was going on with that. So John Harbaugh felt it was disrespectful. And we don't know. Look, something was being said more than that's disrespectful for Malcolm Butler, Jeffrey Simmons, and A.J. Brown to be doing what they were doing, right? Because you've got Jeffrey Simmons, like, looking like he's a bull. He's, like, you know, he's kicking back and forth with his legs. He's, like, flexing. So there was some real jawing going on. We don't know what was being said. But it was more than just, hey, this is what we do. Like, give me a break. Like, we don't. And that's,
right.
Once again, and I said that on Monday. I said, I don't care. Like, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I was fine with it on Monday, and I'm fine with it today, knowing a little bit more of what was being said. John Harbaugh, which, by the way, John Harbaugh, this is not the first time he's had it. Didn't John Harbaugh or – no, wait a minute. Who was it that Schwartz got into it with on Thanksgiving? Went running after – oh, that was Jim Harbaugh. That was his brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jim. So that was the 49ers and Lions on Thanksgiving Day. And Jim kind of gave him the flyby, which, by the way, Vrabel does all the time. Like, his meetings at the middle of the field are basically flybys. They're very, very quick and can be viewed as somebody taking that, you know, the wrong way. I mean, they could. I could see where somebody could be offended, but like, really, that's what you got? Now, you have to sit there and have a three-minute conversation. But he does the flyby handshake. And that's what Jim Harbaugh did with Schwartz. And you could tell, like, he was processing what just happened, right? It was an intense game on Thanksgiving. Detroit lost. And you could tell Schwartz was, like, processing that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful. And then all of a sudden he goes charging after Jim Harbaugh, right? He's chasing him into the tunnel. And then, I don't remember what the exchange, I don't know if Inside the NFL on Showtime had that exchange.
Oh, boy, I don't remember
back
that.
Years ago, but I would have loved to watch that.
It struck a chord with Jim
Schwartz. Chord with him. So we've seen this before.
And Mike Florio had some interesting comments about it yesterday on our show, you know, just talking about how fiery. He says John Harbaugh is just as fiery a competitor as Jim Harbaugh. He just seems to control it a little bit more publicly. He's not quite as demonstrative, but he's got that same fire, and it came out the other day for sure. I guess if this is going to be what the Titans do every week, you better be prepared to back it up is all I would say. But if you do that every week and this is the first time a team ever responded like this and you end up winning the game, which was a razor's edge, you easily could have lost the game, what would we be saying if they had lost the game, right? The Ravens would have been using that as, hey, they stomped on our shield and, you know, that was disrespectful and we used that to motivate us, right? They would have said that. They would have absolutely used that.
Of course they did. Well, so, in fact, they played Lamar Jackson mic'd up before the game, and he referenced, which I said coming in to this game. I said all last week, I said, don't let the Ravens tell you they're not going to, you know, you always hear last year's last year. This is this year. It's a new year. Don't think that the Ravens aren't going to use last year's playoff game as motivation. And Lamar Jackson, they've got him mic'd up, and he's absolutely talking about that with the team prior to kickoff. Don't forget, this is the team that ended our season. So it did go back to last year, which, like I said, don't listen to players and coaches when they tell you they don't go back and they don't talk about that stuff. This is a new year. Baloney. They're human beings, man. They're competitors. Okay. And that's exactly what Lamar Jackson did. Now, it didn't work. But he did bring that up with his team about, hey, this is the team that ended our season last year on our field. And so he was using that, trying to use that as motivation. By the way, Derrick Henry, speaking of what we've just been talking about, he is talking with the media right now, and I see a quote where he said, "We're not trying to disrespect anyone by gathering at midfield and pregame. It's just something that we do every game."
Okay.
Well, that's fine, and maybe that is true. And I believe Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry, you know, comes off as a classy guy. I believe him. But you have to also understand, when you do that at other people's place, yeah, you may not get every team to push back, but you're certainly going to get a team like the Ravens. Go do that in Pittsburgh and see what happens with the Steelers team. Go do that, you know, at Arrowhead against Kansas. I mean, there's just certain teams.
Well, I think they'll do it if they're consistent. Like, I wonder how far Mike Vrabel said they have done that every game that he's been the coach.
How is this the first time that's happened?
He said that, right? He said, we will warm up and we will be introduced the same way that we have every game since I've been the coach, which would include a game at Arrowhead, the AFC Championship game, the game at Baltimore last year.
Yeah, now Andy Reid's not going to come out and do what John Harbaugh did.
No, but what I'm saying
players
is,
could.
If Mike Vrabel's been the coach for two-plus seasons now, yep, over 2.5 seasons, that's the first time that's ever happened. And I guess they're gathering at midfield for every road game. So that's puzzling to me why that's the first time that there's been a reaction like that, because it is a long-time-tested thing that it will get the attention of the other team when you do that. So that's odd. And, you know, so now you have Derrick Henry, as you said. He's been asked about Dalvin Cook. That was another little thing. Did you catch this on Inside the NFL? The question was, who's the best running back
in
football?
They all said Dalvin Cook.
They all said Dalvin Cook.
Which is
they mentioned Alvin Kamara.
Yes.
None of them
even mentioned. I know. It's
Derrick Henry.
I did catch that.
Now, I do wonder if that's something internally. You talk about these guys are human. I wonder if that internally
is being circulated
in the Titans locker room.
That would have to be brought up.
Interesting, guys.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned Derrick Henry.
And oh, by the way, the Titans went to Minnesota and beat the Vikings earlier in the year. Yeah, I'm a little.
Derrick Henry admitted. He says publicly, Cook is the best back in football. He's been incredible the whole year. He runs hard.
Derrick Henry, once again, classy guy. That's what you do, right? You're not.
That's what you do publicly.
Him. Right? He's going to say that publicly. You know, Dalvin Cook is having a tremendous season, but give me a break. One, Dalvin Cook hasn't done it since he's been in the pros. Have we said he's really good when he's on the field? Yes, but he hasn't been available all the time. He's been banged up a lot. This year he's finally putting it together because he's out there all the time, and that's fine. But give me a break. Derrick Henry was the NFL's rushing title. He won the rushing title last year. Dalvin Cook hasn't done any of that stuff. And now, if they want to say they like Kamara and Cook more because they do more, fine, whatever. I mean, what about a guy that's done something that nobody else has done this year in two games in overtime with a touchdown, right? Nobody's done that. That's what Derrick Henry did. A running back did that. And so, I don't know. I was really surprised that nobody said Derrick Henry on that panel. Not even mention him. That it was Cook and Kamara. Disappointing with that.
Yeah, I could, and this was right on the heels of them showing Derrick Henry dominating the end of the game against the Ravens. He's the reason they won that game. I know everything else, the way Tannehill played, the way the wide receiver, it all starts with Derrick Henry. This has been what we've been discussing for a long time. I mean, they are 7-3 on a razor's edge. Jim Wyatt's been circulating this stat that you've got three games in regulation and two overtime games where it has gone down literally to the deciding plays have been in the last 2 minutes, right? It has gone right to the wire. They've got five of their seven wins that are like that. It is not easy to win. And Derrick Henry's in the middle of all of those. You know, without him, how many of those games are they winning? I don't care how well Ryan Tannehill is playing. It all starts with number 22.
It's just like Ben Roethlisberger when I've been bringing that up the last week and a half. Look at the Steelers without him and look at the Steelers with him. I mean, his track record speaks for himself. Take Derrick Henry off this team, good luck. We're talking about January football. It isn't happening. This team is not a playoff team. They're not even close if they don't have Derrick Henry. Not even close. So I was disappointed in that. Does it mean anything? No. I always say, don't. Who cares what the national media, when, you know, fans are always, why don't the national media ever talk about us? Who cares? But I was disappointed that he didn't even get mentioned. Now, the other thing that I have to say is I stand corrected because we all saw John Harbaugh kind of give the shoo away, right, sign at the end of the game. But sure enough, watching that coverage last night, and I rewound and watched it several times, and you're right, because you brought it up on Monday, and I was like, I didn't really see that. I didn't see the handshake, but it looks like there was
contact.
A quick
– less than a second.
I don't know if it was a handshake, but there was, like, hand contact.
Yes.
Where my dad, I kind of thought it didn't happen, and John Harbaugh kind of, like, shooed him away, like, get out of here, man.
No, there wasn't a shoe. But there was not, as my dad used to teach me, you give them the grip, right? He said, when you shake somebody's hands, you look the guy in the eye, you look the person in the eye, and you give them the firm handshake. He always used to say, give them the grip. There was no grip. It was just a boom, see ya.
Oh, it was.
But there was contact.
You couldn't even say see ya, I don't think, in the amount of time that there was contact with their two hands. And once again, whatever, that's fine. So with that being said, so now this is on. So apparently this is what they do. And it's never offended anybody until now, which I find that hard to believe. So now it's on tape. Everybody has seen it around the league.
Oh, yeah. They'll be watching. They'll have the cameras rolling on Sunday.
So now they're going to Indianapolis to take on the big division foe and the big bad Colts. Here we go. The game for the division lead late in the season. So if this is what they do, no harm, no foul, no disrespect. Are you telling me the Colts aren't a guy like Phillip Rivers? You see the way he has played the last 17 years, his intensity? Are you telling me the Colts are not going to be? And guys like, you know, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, you think those guys are just going to sit back and be like, hey, yeah, no problem. Hey, do whatever you want on our horseshoe. Well, it's cool.
The question is, will they just keep it internal or will they actually run out there and bark? Because if you're the Colts, you're like, go do what you want. You can't beat us. We've beaten you 12 or the True. Last 13 times or whatever it is. You know, I don't know what the numbers are recently. The Titans did win there last year, but other than that, it's been a total domination by the Colts. The Colts just won on the Titans field. I wonder if they'll feel the need to go out and bark. They might just laugh and say, go do whatever you want to do. You can't beat us. I'm just curious.
That's true. That's a true statement. The Colts absolutely own the Titans. We talked about it the last go around, 18 days, well, when it's going to be 18 days from now, whenever they had kickoff. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about how much they own them in Nashville. What is that, 15-4 now? They are in Nashville? Forget the whole series since they've been here.
I think it's 14-5. I think that's what the final tally was.
Indy is now 14-5 here?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? What is it overall? I mean, it's not
much better up there.
Really
if
bad.
At all.
No, of course it's not. It's worse. It's really, really bad. So they absolutely own them. So is there a factor of, yeah, do whatever you want, man. We own you. You can do whatever it takes to get you pumped up. But I don't really think that's how, you know, teams work. I really don't think that's how competitors work. One, you may gather at midfield. I think that probably there was some barking, there was some looks, there was some flexing, there was something that set that whole thing in motion. The question is, will the same thing happen on Sunday? And like you said, the cameras are going to be focused, and you know, before kickoff on that that particular day, because it's out there now, right? It's on tape. Now you've had this incident. The whole league is aware of it. Everybody's been talking about it all week. Now, how much will they center in on that on Sunday? And how much will the Titans do supposedly what they do every time, or will it be scaled back a little bit? Will it be a little bit different? I guess we're about to find out.
We'll find out. My guess is they'll do what they've always done. But there will be an awareness level that wasn't there before for all these obvious reasons. And the awareness level will definitely be in the Colts locker room too.
Nate on Twitter has tweeted at us and said, will the center of the field conversation be a part of pick six on Friday?
Interesting idea.
I don't know. We'll have to think about that. I don't know what you do. I don't know how you word that. I don't know how you do a prop question on that, but we'll think about that. It's under advisement.
Under advisement.
We're not pleading no contest.
This is the way you could do it. Will there be an instant replay of any incident in the pregame warm-up? After the teams are introduced.
We will think about that.
99 games out of 100, you don't see a replay of the teams being introduced. You only see it when there's an incident. So if the TV deems it worthy,
Or this question. Will they show
last week?
Will they reference last week?
Will they reference last week, or will this be something new this week?
No, will they show the clip from last week when they go into their before kickoff coverage? Do they reference it on the broadcast?
Well, they'll definitely reference it.
Before kickoff?
Oh, I think so. But okay. To me, the real question is, does anything new happen? Like, talking about last week, that's just a storyline from last week. How did the Colts react is, I think, what we're all curious about.
Yeah. All right, we will come back and wrap up the second hour. Don't forget, Tim Hasselbeck will kick off the third hour. Second hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. At the bottom of that hour, in the third hour, Gary Smith. Talk about Nashville SC's big win against Toronto. And they will face the Columbus Crew on Sunday night at 7 o'clock on ESPN. And, of course, we are also the flagship station, so you're going to hear it right here on radio as well. But we'll talk to Gary Smith at 12:30, Silly Underdogs, coming up at 1 o'clock. Don't forget, our game of the week for Sunday is going to be a big one. Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. Chiefs and Bucks. Coverage begins at 3 p.m., kickoff at 3:25, and that's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. Let's do this. We've got a couple, when we're having that discussion, we've got a couple comments on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Elijah, what do you got?
All right, the first one from Adam in Portland, an interesting perspective here. He says, on the flip side, I think anyone who plays Baltimore should consider doing something like that to rattle them. The Titans were 6-point underdogs and went in there and stole that game. Lamar likes to hang his head, and the head coach, as you've seen, can be rattled. They are a mentally questionable team.
You know what's interesting is that has been in question, and the whole knock was for them. They are the team that plays – they play really good with the lead. They're just not a good catch-up team, right? That was the knock on this Ravens team, that they weren't a good come-from-behind team. They are in control and doing their thing when they're in the lead. Well, guess what? They were in control and in the lead up 21-10, and I admitted on Monday, I thought that's when it was going to get away from the Titans. Like, I didn't think it was going to be their day. I'm like, this is playing out exactly how the Ravens wanted to play out, and sure enough, remember, that was the thing. I thought the Ravens were supposed to win these games, and they were in control, in the lead, at home, and guess what? They didn't win. So yeah, I guess we can throw that whole thing out the window.
Yeah, and speaking of the Ravens, their game against the Steelers has been moved to Sunday. Diana Rossini has put that out there. Ian Rappaport has put that out there. So just in the last minute or two, that is breaking news.
Is there going to be a triple header then? Or do we think just going to be the two games?
Just the two games.
I always
Texans. The NFL has released it. Texans at Lions, football team at Cowboys. That's it. So the old traditional doubleheader and not the tripleheader.
I've really enjoyed this format.
Make some plans on your favorite movie on Thursday night.
Well, I've always enjoyed the tripleheader. In fact, the tripleheader, the night game has really been, you know, last several years has been really good. And, of course, I expected this one to be really good. But we know the Ravens had, since their loss to the Titans, had shut down their facility. Facilities, what, Monday and Tuesday? Clearly it doesn't seem like it's getting any better today as we sit here on this Wednesday because that game has now been moved to Sunday. Okay, so did you have another text, Elijah?
Yeah, we got a couple more here.
Okay,
one from Steven. This is going back to the Harbaugh and Vrabel handshake or no handshake. He said, it's COVID, so outside of a funeral and hug with mom, there is zero physical contact. A fist bump is the most you can expect, which I feel like is fair there. And then,
well,
Jordan,
hold on one second. So have coaches been, I kind of feel like coaches have been shaking hands, have they not?
I think some have, some haven't.
Yeah. Some have, yeah.
I mean, there have been fist bumps, but I've seen shaking of hands as well.
Now we got to go back and crunch some film and get some stats here. How many times has Vrabel had the firm handshake?
What's the breakdown?
Like the firm,
yeah.
The breakdown between the firm, like, shake, I guess, and then, like, the fist bump or anything like that. So
I don't think Vrabel's doing firm handshake with anybody. During COVID times or even pre-COVID, I don't think you were getting a firm handshake.
And what if you have gloves on?
Ooh. That throws another wrench into it.
What coach have we seen with gloves on?
Answer, when the weather gets cold, I think some have.
No one.
I think Mike McCarthy was a glove wearer.
Really?
But yeah. Well, he's in Green Bay. I mean, obviously, it's cold all the time. So.
Okay. I
so
don't remember
possible.
Coaches.
Maybe
okay.
NFL Next Gen Stats has a page on that. If not, they should. But another text. This is from Jordan. He says, the last thing the Titans need to do is give the Colts more juice on their own turf, or in their own house, rather.
Well, but you could have said that about Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
And whatever they've done before hasn't worked real well up until last year. So if they did it last year, whatever they did last year, I would do again. Because they finally won last year.
Well, they haven't said they've been doing this since Mike Vrabel's been there. They've just said they've been doing it this year, correct?
No, they've said every game since he's been the coach.
Oh, so they've always done this.
Every game since he's been coach.
Okay.
Is what he said, which would include all of last year, all the year before. Now, okay. I'd never noticed that, and it's never been an issue. Whatever they've been doing has not incited that kind of reaction. That's what's interesting about it. Daquan Jones and all the players that have been asked about it today have all doubled down on it. Yeah, this is what we do every game, and we're going to keep doing it.
Well, yeah, you can't stop. I understand that. The question is, will there be any more fallout from it? Now will other teams...
Right, now that it's on the radar.
Especially like Indianapolis say, yeah, not in our house. Yeah, you're not going to do that. But I do think there was a little bit extra. I don't think it's always like that. And I understand it's a heated game. It's a big rivalry game. It should have a little extra, right? But this Sunday is a heated rivalry game too. And so it should have a little extra on it. But, I don't believe when they went to Denver there was a little extra. I think maybe you just gather there and you break. But I think there was a little extra in Baltimore. And I would suspect there should be a little extra in Indy. The question is, will the Colts be offended by that? That's something I'll ask Tim right out of the gates. Like, how much of that stuff has gone on? Has it been an issue in the past? Did he see that as a player? And if so, how did his teammates and his teams react to that? I can't imagine that the Titans are the only team that's
college,
ever done this.
In college, it seems to be more of an emotional thing. It's definitely
happened more in
college.
And it's been a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah. Remember Florida and Georgia got into a big fight
one
time before
the
game.
Huge fight. That was
the Tim Tebow days.
Yes.
And if I recall correctly, I think Georgia, they were kind of questioning. Mark Richt was like questioning their toughness, and they did that.
Or wasn't that the year that they all ran on the field after the first touchdown?
No, that was I think that was the year after. They didn't do that like they did the previous year. And so what did they do? They all celebrated the first touchdown.
Okay, that makes sense now.
Because that was another thing Rick was
there's been a lot
pressured
of
for because Florida kept winning that game every year. So that was kind of, you know, their motivation. I think they went on to win that game. Georgia won. The one they scored and they all celebrated, I think that was the game they won.
Right. It doesn't always, quote, work, right? I think if we did a study of all the times somebody has done that, I don't know if there's any correlation to that team wins or loses more often as a result. I'd like to know, though. It'd be interesting if there was any kind of trend. If it helped you win, more teams would probably do it.
Yep. We'll come back. We'll start the third hour with our man Tim Hasselbeck. He joins us every Wednesday at this time. If you did not hear, and we'll bring this up with him, the Ravens-Steelers game on Thursday night. That will be the third game on Thanksgiving, has been moved to Sunday. The Ravens have been dealing with some COVID issues, and so it has been pushed to Sunday afternoon. We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.